Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the most listened to podcast in podcast history. That's Ooh. Right. We're listening. You're listening to Wrestling and Whatever. I'm Mikey Dangerously, and with me, as always, we have J-Glow and the Ben Wayne. How you boys doing on this fine evening of wrestling talk and whatever talk?
And bitching talk.
I guess we're going to bitch a lot. Ben apparently has a lot of grievances, and we're going to hear about it.
Please air them, just, Ben.
Like, what is going on with professional wrestling? That's our first grievance, right?
I mean, this is the episode of grievances. I've named the title right there.
It's so funny. It's so funny because everybody, like, that every wrestler or anyone that's in wrestling right now, like, when anyone brings a podcast, that's all they do is they talk about how everyone just bitches and complains in them. Well, guess what? We're living up to the hype tonight.
We're not any different.
That's, we are not.
You know, that's just, you know, we could talk about the recent WWE pay-per-view that had happened, a.k.a. Survivor Series, a.k.a. a build-up that was supposed to be brand supremacy that I think they threw it on us like last minute. I'm not entirely sure. And, but the whole, like, I guess the whole, like, overarching theme that was happening for the pay-per-view was Vince McMahon returning on screen, which, you know, you're going to get your ratings pops whenever you put a McMahon on screen. So that's what they're looking to do.
Absolutely.
And, he brought out this egg and he was just holding this egg. And then he talked about this egg. And it was to help promote a movie that The Rock's doing on Netflix. I can't remember the name of the movie.
Red Notice.
That's what it was. And, you know, you take it from there. I mean, they talked a little bit about the history of The Rock and Survivor Series and all that stuff.
No Rock.
No Rock. But Vince, you know, but yeah, No Rock.
I just want to throw this out there. Doesn't WWE know to, like, live from their past, like, to not do what they did in their past with the fucking egg at Survivor Series back
what is,
in the 80s?
What does Survivor Series have to do with egg? It's synonymous with wrestling for some strange reason. Like,
I was waiting, and it jarred in my mind for just a moment. Like, if they fucking come out on Raw the next night and the fucking gobbledygooker comes out, and says, hey, I took the egg because, you know,
I'm fucking
whatever.
Gobbledygooker.
I honestly, right then and there, I would have left this podcast. I would have uninstalled every app that's wrestling affiliated with me. I would have got rid of it. And I would have just said, fuck this. I'm not doing this anymore. AEW, I'm sorry. But I can't watch wrestling anymore.
Well, you would have pulled out, huh?
I would have pulled out super early.
I want to tell you something. Either the gobbledygook being something behind this, or the other theory that they had was that the Repo Man stole the egg. Those two would have been a better alternative than what they eventually did with it, which, you know, the end of this whole thing, the person who took the egg wanted to take a selfie with the egg. It was Austin Theory. I'll use my Joey Styles impression. Austin Theory?
You know what it is? Vince just believes anybody he decides is the chosen one will be the chosen one. He did it with Drew. If he just points his wand at you, you'll be over and you'll be the guy. You know, he still believes that mentality in his eyes, you know, anyway.
That's an interesting the factual observation, I think, on your end, Ben. I think it's when the man is just so out in left field and he's just trying to grasp on anything. He's like, you know what? Sit whoever else next to me, and I'll make them a star, you know?
Like, do you know how, like, pissed off he is that he had to turn Roman heel for us to appreciate him? Like, he never wanted to turn Roman heel. But why did everyone dislike Roman so much? That fucking Royal Rumble where they said Roman was the chosen one, and he threw everyone out. And then the next night, Roman got booed out of the building because Vince said, oh, Roman's the guy, and no one wanted Roman to be the guy then. They wanted, like, fucking Rollins or Moxley to be the guy at that point. Vince said, nope, we're going to make Roman the guy. And they did. And it failed a couple of times until they turned him heel with Heyman.
Right. But then the thing that we always talk about in this is that wrestling fans have that ADD. And J-Glow always talks about it, how, like, you don't want to have the show hijacked. That's a word, right? Like, I would assume, like, that's what they're trying to do is...
Absolutely.
But when they have no other option, you know what I mean? It's like, just do it. Like, Cena would have been, like, such an NWO heel if he went heel.
They should have done that. They could have fucking pulled that trigger like they did with Hogan and had maybe 2 or 3 years of Cena as a heel on top, and they didn't do it because they just, like, I think it's because Cena's outside work. That's all I can figure factors into that big hardcore. But now in this day and age, like, that kayfabe is all broke. So what's the point?
Yeah.
I still think had they had turned Cena heel, like, probably mid 2014, between that part to the latter part of like 2015-16, it still would have worked. When WWE was doing absolutely piss poor, when CM Punk had left and it was just Cena really much at that time, and they were really pushing the Cena Nation down your throat, and it was him versus Randy Orton about 23 times.
Did you say Semen Nation down your throat?
Semen Nation.
Oh.
I think that would have been the best part, best time to pull the trigger, because around that point, they were really trying to throw shit at the wall to see if it stuck, and it didn't. A lot of us, I think I can speak for, probably didn't watch it as much then.
Yeah, you know, it, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you want to think of my sanity, I haven't really caught wrestling that much lately. And I don't know if it's for the better or not, but definitely back then, that time period, like you said, when CM Punk left to maybe like, God, I don't even know. It wasn't like a complete break, but I wasn't watching it as much.
That's that summer of Punk, though, where he took off and then he re-signed and he was doing all the outside stuff you're talking about, when he left then or when he really left?
I think when he was done. Is that what you're talking about, Jake Lowe?
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't too terrible, because that wasn't a Cena-driven era. That was, what, 2014 or 2013 when he left, and they got Sting at the end of the year? That's that, right? That's the year you're talking about, right?
I think
Sting Punk had a long run and dropped it to The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, that section. But that year before that, where Punk left and Cena was on top and they did that piss-poor tournament with Mysterio and Cena, then Punk came out and held up the Real World's title and got that fucking massive pop over Cena, that's when they should have turned Cena heel, because it was done and dead. I mean, that guy was standing in the ring with a WWE title and they were booing him out of the building for CM Punk, who wasn't even contracted and had been running around with the title like at Comic-Con and stuff that summer.
100%. I 100% agree there, because even the lead up before that with him losing to The Rock and everyone booing Cena, and then The Rock ultimately coming back and winning the belt, it was just like, they painted such a perfect picture that would have, if that would have happened in the late 90s, early 2000s, he would have turned heel 10 times over.
Yeah, definitely, because the fans booed him out of the building. There's your reason to turn heel. Exactly. It's right there. Like, fuck, I'm the champion. I'm on top. I'm doing what you guys want. You are still booing me. Go heel. That was the time, you know?
Exactly. And it's funny that you say it, though, because remember WrestleMania during the pandemic where they had him and Bray Wyatt and they were flashbacking to everything that we just went over. And it's like they knew that this is what we had. And we know Vince. Vince seems delusional right now, but that man has hit a lot of home runs. So his track record is really good with making people and, you know, making it count. But that would have been the perfect time to do it. Like, why not? What are you going to lose? If anything, you're still going to have the Make-A-Wish kids still like him, because they're going to be like, oh, well, John Cena's right. I still stand by him, even though what he's doing right now is wrong or whatever. It's some way it still would have sold a lot.
There was no kayfabe was dead. It's dead. It's a hard thing to do now in this wrestling business, I think, to hold a complete honest face or hold a complete honest heel. The only one that I think that's doing that and towing the line pretty well is MJF, and I think he's the only one that's doing it. Everybody else, they jump on Twitter and, oh, I was so appreciative to be working the match against blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why? Why do that? Like,
no one heals it up 24/7 anymore.
No, I think MJF's the only, like, he told his parents, like, fuck off or something. Like, that's pretty funny.
he said it in an interview. He goes, there hasn't been a heel like me in 25 years. And he's probably right, and probably more than 25 years.
Yeah.
A heel that stayed a heel even when you catch him at the hotel, you catch him on Twitter, wherever you catch him, MJF's going to heal. And he's not going to be who he is. He's keeping that kayfabe alive. And I mean, you got to respect him a little bit for that, you know, even though it's a small market and small thing for him.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that too, Ben, because I was just watching a quick interview of him with a gentleman from Barstool Sports. I think it was just called Wrestling is the name of the podcast from there. And he stayed in character the whole entire time. He was a complete utter dick to this guy. And it was entertaining, because we know that's who he is.
Yeah.
So like, the guy was laughing, but then you could just see in MJ's face where he was trying not to break character, but he was being such a dick, and the guy was like, well, why are you being mean to me? It was great.
I mean, I'm sure there's other characters I'm forgetting, but when I say 25 years, I can only think of Pillman. Pillman was the last character who maintained kayfabe straight across the board, and he did it through three different fucking promotions who had no idea where he was coming from. Absolutely. Like, from a professional standpoint or a personal standpoint, he was fucking, what was it? He was negotiating with WWF and trying to get out of WCW and wrestling in ECW all at the same time in the same fucking summer, and you didn't know he was called the Loose Cannon because he lived that character.
Yeah, he was the man.
He was awesome. I mean, Pillman, from what he was to what he became, like, that character was so ahead of its time, it would be good today. He could still run with that Loose Cannon character if they let him do it the right way, you know? And he had it the right way, you know?
Absolutely. And here's another thing I want to add on now that I think we're kind of done talking about Cena here. But to talk about MJF here for a minute, I'm not sure if you guys caught AEW last Wednesday, I believe it was. But it's AEW starting to have more most talked about things happening than WWE is. Most talked about as in, like, good, like, holy shit, did you see that? Opposed to WWE saying, like, oh, man, they're doing this again at WWE. The
fucking egg?
Yeah, the fucking egg. So AEW had arguably probably one of the most anticipated meetings on the mic between CM Punk and MJF. And it was very entertaining. So I recommend that if you guys do check it out, or if you haven't seen it yet, you guys will be like, oh my God, every time that one of them speaks, a lot of jabs, a lot of very good jabs that you don't see in wrestling anymore. No one respectfully peels back the curtain and takes jabs at, you know, certain wrestlers. So at one point, just to give you kind of a preview of it, MJF takes jabs at CM Punk, talking about his failed UFC career and, you know, it took you 7 years, this, that, and the other thing. And then CM Punk, he grabbed the mic and he's like, I'm really disappointed in you. And they pretty much call him a poor man's Miz, or couldn't even be the Miz. It was just a lot of jabs. I can't remember. I'm going to watch it again. That's how I came across the MJF interview on that Barstool Sports, because I was trying to watch it in full. But it was very funny. I recommend you guys watching it. Anyone listening to this that has watched it.
There's another interview that I recommend our folks listening to as well. And I don't know if any of you guys caught it or not. It was the Michael Cole was actually on Pat McAfee's show. And he talked about the business and, like, what he does. There was a lot of, like, backlash on how Michael Cole, like, expressed what he did and how it was a business. And what he's trying to do. But if you actually, like, listen to what Michael Cole was saying about, like, you know, just to get the peel the curtain a little bit to see what announcing's like, at least for the WWE, it was a really interesting read or listen, you know. And Michael Cole, like, he never shows up on those things. So it's just interesting to get a perspective about it. But basically, Cole said something along the lines of he's doing pretty much what his boss is instructing him to do. And then he kind of went into not in such a harsh words, but it's a fake promotion about a fake sport. And he's a fake announcer, you know, but I know that sounds harsh and people will be like, oh, you know, fuck him for saying that and all that shit. But, like, if you have to think about it, how else do you get a job or how else do you hold on to a job for 25 years?
Right.
You do what someone else says.
Right. And you understand the product as best you could. And you just kind of, I hate to say that because it seems like a negative connotation, but you toe the line and, you know, you help people that are coming up under you. You help them as much as you can. And it was just an enlightening listen, if anything. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, but I know Vince had other announcers back in the day, but I think the way he liked the company best is when he was in front of the camera selling it.
Yeah,
that's just how I think he liked it, because then he didn't have to parlay to anyone what his vision was. He put it out there, he made it heard, and he knew what guys he wanted to do what. Guys he wanted to move into new positions, and that's when the company worked the best. I mean, that's when it was at its height in the 80s into the early 90s, and then he moved it over to Jim Ross, who was a wrestling guy but knew how to listen to him because he had done it for the NWA for years.
Yeah,
so it all worked throughout the 90s, and Cole is the next stepping stone. But think about that. Cole is your salesman in front of the camera, and how bad has business been in the last 2 to 4 years?
Horrible.
Exactly.
I tell you what's not horrible, though. A quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back, folks.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of an ice-cold Loco coffee. I always have one before I record wrestling or whatever because it's that damn good. Start feeling good about your daily coffee consumption. Loco coffee delivers benefits that go above and beyond the average cold brew coffee and is geared towards fueling your active lifestyle with all natural, no BS ingredients, and zero added sugar. The added coconut water and maple water provides electrolytes and antioxidants for an enhanced, clean coffee experience. This is the perfect pre- and post-workout drink. Don't forget to use our promo code WRESTLINGWE for 10% off of your next order off of any Loco coffee you purchase on lococoffee.com.
Welcome back to Wrestling and Whatever. I'm Jay Glow with Mikey Dangerously and the Ben Wayne. That was a word from our sponsors, Loco Coffee. And man, let me tell you something. I just got my new shipment in. And I'll tell you what, those guys, man, they can make a killer brew. I love it. I can't say much more about it. It's become one of those things where it's one of the things in your house, like when you go to the store, milk, bread, eggs, me. It's Loco, Loco, and a Loco. Heads up, cheers to them. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying here, but thanks, guys. Your coffee's fucking great. So coming back into our conversation here of the old wrestling, one thing as we were coming back on, I was talking to the guys here about, was comparing the wrestling community with the gaming community for specifically – one topic. Now, I was just telling Mikey Dangerously and the Ben Wayne here that I just got a new game. It's called Battlefield. When you guys, anyone that games here knows about the game, the feedback that the gaming community has given for this game is that it's quote unquote dog water, dog shit, anything with a dog, I guess. And I personally, I love it. It's very fun. There are a few bugs that are in the game right now. They'll eventually get fixed. But the premise of the game, me being a Battlefield fan since day one, I love playing it. It's very fun. Now, comparing that to maybe wrestling nowadays, me personally, I'm on the side of the spectrum that everyone else in the gaming community is saying that, you know, Battlefield's dog shit. That's how I feel about wrestling right now, specifically in the WWE, because they do have the talent and they do have the people that could actually make it work, but you don't have that home run hitter like Stone Cold, The Rock, Mankind, Goldberg, all those guys that really grasped onto us and even grown-ass adults at that time and really took the ball and ran with it and really made us believe that they were bona fide ass kickers, badasses, the whole nine yards. But that's how I feel about wrestling nowadays, is how these fans of gaming and whatnot, how they really don't like the new Battlefield because it's not that good. See, maybe it's just me, but I feel like as someone that's watched wrestling pretty much his whole life, wrestling could do better. And yes, I know that they're trying their best with what they got right now, but there's a sort of expectation that's set that you guys are the top dog still, really. Act like it. Get your stars. You guys, they got to work on something. You're not going to have your MVPs that you've had in the past. Even Hulk Hogan, Superstar Billy Graham, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair's, all those guys.
It's funny you mentioned that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, just say funny you mentioned that because WWE has relied on that for fucking ever, where they've brought back a star who's been gone like 6 to 8 months, and there just isn't those stars anymore. They don't have them. They're bringing back fucking Goldberg, who's not even their star. You know what I mean? Like, that's how, like, why did Vince think that he could put his hooks into Goldberg and consider him a WWE commodity, and he was built in WCW? It's one of the few things I cannot understand why that's one thing he'll parlay and put out, and he's put over everybody in his in the WWE. It's funny.
It's interesting because there's a lot of those wrestlers where he would be like, I don't, you know, there was no other promotion before WWE. WWE is the end-all, be-all. But yeah, now he's pushing the likes of like a Goldberg, and it's like, yeah, he is not WWE bred. You know what I mean? Like, he was powerhouse. You know what I mean? Or the,
even DDP, when he came in and how big he was, look what they did to him. They made him a jobber. He legit made him a jobber. Not one star, not Booker, anybody who was made in WCW, NWA that he had brought over, he never pushed the way he has pushed Goldberg. The only thing that makes sense is Goldberg generates cash. That's the only thing that would make sense. Or on top of that, NBC likes the, you know, Goldberg being on their network. They get a lot of clicks. They get a lot of hits. They want more Goldberg.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I believe, isn't Goldberg on a show for NBC or like CNBC or something like that too?
Could be like in the USA Mix or something.
There was like a car
show. Was something.
I think that's NBC Universal or something like that. So yeah, you know, that's all like you said, like a cash grab for them.
Happens, Mike, the way that stuff works. Like when TNT owned WCW and Turner, there was a lot of basketball players who wouldn't make it, and they would try and push through WCW. Like, what was it, Elegante? That's how he came through back in the day. You know what I mean? When those stars don't work out elsewhere, or maybe their shows aren't generating revenue, oh, let's throw them into wrestling. Why not?
But, you know, again, thinking about the other basketball players that they had, with like Dennis Rodman making a splash, and who was the other guy that was with that
Shaq feud? They've had 100 times in there. Mm-hmm. Carl Malone, they've
Carl
had.
Yeah, it was Carl Malone. You know, it's just, it's interesting, like how
Jay Leno.
Guys that have interest outside of wrestling and end up somehow in their package deal get put in wrestling. Like Rodman had something going on with NBC at the time, TNT at the time, and he was on for probably the playoffs and stuff, as was Carl Malone. It was all bundled, and then they go, oh, let's see if we can get these two guys into wrestling. It was a big deal at the time, so it makes sense, you know.
Yeah, and if you were talking about Leno, that was NBC, that wasn't TNT, but that was Sturgis. Because they knew
that was his crossover.
A big draw for that pay-per-view, because everybody knew Jay Leno. Jay Leno was a big Sturgis guy with motorcycles and things like that. So they knew he'd bring in the crowd over there for that pay-per-view.
Here's the thing, though, too. Here's the thing, too, with what you guys are saying. WCW did that one thing right, though. They had Dennis Rodman, who was arguably one of the most controversial basketball players back in the 90s, and Karl Malone, who was like the ultimate good guy in basketball. Everybody loved him. And the fact that they both played each other, I think it was the 1998 playoffs. I could be wrong. But you couldn't write that any better. The fact that you had Karl Malone, DDP versus Hogan and Rodman.
Yeah.
Like that made, even though they both wrestled worth the shit, Karl Malone looked good, but it was just whoever thought of that, I think it was DDP and took credit for that, but kudos. Like, can you imagine if they did that nowadays, if they had somebody like with, let's say, LeBron in WWE tag teaming with who's the good guy right now? Who's even a good guy that's KD. Who's that?
KD, Kevin Durant. Put him on the other side.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm thinking like, well, LeBron's technically a good guy in basketball,
really?
Even though he could go heel if he wanted to.
They probably make him a heel.
Yeah,
if he was in Miami Heat days, he'd be a heel.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing, though. That's the thing too. Like, if he's so, like, he's a hybrid. He's like the ultimate bad guy, good guy. But
he's Hollywood Hogan.
He really is.
Right. So if there was like
either way.
So who was the other guy you said?
Robin was. Yeah.
No, the other guy who is now that Ben said.
Kevin Durant. You think Ben?
I just think he's ultimately a good guy now because he's in Brooklyn. When he was with the Warriors, he was a heel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
KD being with Brooklyn's a good guy, as is LeBron. It might be a face versus face time. Might be Hogan in the Warrior time, Jay Glove.
True.
You know?
I'm trying to think here. And sorry to go off of the tats here, Mikey, but like, I'm really, in my mind, like, it's race right now. Like, who could I think? LeBron be that if we're talking about numbers.
Fuck, you could do mixed genders. You could do LeBron and fucking the boss, Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
And then I don't know this Kevin Durant guy, but with a woman, I would say maybe like
Bianca.
Oh, there you go. Wow, look at that. We just fucking booked something, guys.
That would be sick. And you know what, too? Snoop Dogg, I want to say, I could be, I hope I'm not wrong with saying this, but he's a big LA fan. Or he's a big Lakers fan.
And he's so, Sasha's cousin. So,
and he's Sasha's cousin. They can make something work.
Look at this, man.
Oh, man. But can you imagine? Kevin Durant, I mean, it would ultimately have to be somebody that had a chance in the playoffs. Oh, no, I take this back. Ben, Giannis.
Oh, there we go. There's our
Giannis
for sure.
Antetokounmpo. Yeah, that guy, the Greek freak. Him and Bianca versus LeBron and LeBron Sasha. Just got suspended.
It'll be old versus new. School versus the new school.
This man,
you know?
WWE creative.
You know
and
our pay.
Social media.
We'll give you our addresses. You can send
my PayPal. Is my name.
Checks will be in the
sending over. That would be now. What do you think the universe would say though to that? They would say, oh, they're just doing what WCW did back in the 90s. Well, guess what? It fucking worked.
It worked. That's the issue. I think what the issue is that WWE doesn't want to go to the well when it's worked, and they could be an asshole company if they really wanted to, but they're not going to because they're under that umbrella of NBC. And I don't know if we said this on the air or not, but the three of us are confirming just in our thoughts. Now, this isn't real or anything. Like, this is, we don't know from like inside sources or whatever.
Or rumor mill.
Right. But WWE is going to get bought. You know what I mean?
I think so.
There's liquidation happening. Disney. And yeah. And Vince is just getting the windows boarded up, you know, doing what you do for foreclosures and just like moving everybody out. He's not going to care. He's going to have enough money for his, all he's worried about are his kids, his grandkids and his grandkids' kids, which he'll have enough money for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he'll secure the future of the McMahon family.
Right.
You know,
they'll live leisurely.
So that's,
absolutely.
And Linda, if she wants to have another run in office, she could throw that money in the pit.
The thing is, like, that company is looking more and more like it's being sold for the last year with all the talent liquidation.
Yeah.
Like, that original merger or the original move in the network to NBC was exactly that. They're going to wait the whole year. They're probably telling WWE who they don't want. And I still think Bray was released because he was too edgy for Disney. I just think that's what eventually was the idea. And plus, what he was a head case backstage, they said. But that's why all this talent's getting cleared. And whoever's there are going to be marketable talent who can be, you know, merged with Marvel as, you know, another viable commodity under NBC.
Damn.
You know, because the reason I say merge with Marvel is you've been noticed over the last couple of years, they've been dressing the WWE superstars in like superhero costumes. Like it's been a thing with Rey, but they've been doing it constantly with different colors with Rollins. Do you see what Rollins and Becky Lynch look like supervillains all the time? Like it's ridiculous how the costuming has changed up
big
so much. Like it's
Bex.
A big part of it, you know?
That's Jesus really Christ. Interesting. I mean,
here's a question for you guys. Sorry to cut you off, Mikey, but here's a good question for you guys. We think that WWE is going to get bought out eventually, and I think we could all pretty much agree that it might be Disney. When do you think this will happen?
I don't know when the most viable time is, but I mean, after WrestleMania is usually when it should happen. Because that's when the company's at a tight, that's when it, like they can make moves and stuff, and they do all that overseas shit. So that would make sense after, you know, maybe Rock comes in and it's a big deal, and they do just sell the company, but who knows? Like, who knows if the McMahons will ever give up 51%?
Yeah. And the only thing I'm thinking about is that whenever WWE does their season premiere shows, I can't remember when that usually happens. They always say like season premiere. I don't know if that happens in the fall. I that might be after WrestleMania. That
like
might
in
be
August or something.
Yeah,
or
that might
be
a couple,
be right,
but like around then perhaps, just because they'll always say that on their shows, season premiere or whatever, or like, I know, like, we have our years for humans is January till December. But, like, for that television, particularly for, like, WWE, I think it, like you said, Ben, I think it's in August. I think their New Year starts in August or whatever and kind of goes over, so.
Because what always happens, they hit Mania, and then after Mania, like, for a month, it's kind of lackluster television. They travel overseas a lot, and they do that Mania tour, and they do a couple of things in the summer, but then August, right by SummerSlam, is when they start saying like they're going into the fall preview and premiere seasons and shit, whatever. But I mean, once it says it's sold, I wonder if like people stop watching. I wonder what happens. I wonder how it goes.
My guess was going to be summer of 2023. A year, so that way they could get something set in place. Because, you know, Vince, back in the day, he doesn't do this anymore, though, but him and Pat Patterson, they would have a whole booklet of things that they would have planned out for, you know, years in advance. And since that's really, you know, depleted, not only because Pat Patterson passed, but because of just the way that they're doing their programming now, I think a year in advance from some sort of a Mania. Because you have to also remember, too, that they've already planned out WrestleManias for 2+ years in advance as well.
Some, yeah, they used to do that. I don't know if they still do that now.
Well, yeah, no, they said 3 years, I think. Because remember the one WrestleMania when it was COVID or whatever, they were saying, this is going to be in Texas, and then this is going to be in L.A., and then this is going to be in – they were saying Manias, weren't they?
Well, yeah, I thought the Manias that they announced was it was going to be this year, it was going to be in Texas, and then the following year it was going to be in Hollywood. And then that was it. So yeah. I'm thinking after the Hollywood one is when they announce, hey, Disney or quote-unquote company has bought WWE. Vince McMahon is, you know, we wish you in your future endeavors.
Vince.
Yeah. So I think that's when it all comes to fruition around that point. But, I mean, would you guys be upset if that happened?
I wouldn't be upset, but I think that the way that happens is they still say Vince is at the head of it because Disney or NBC do not want to change that company so much where the fans don't recognize it. And even if it's just like a Jack Tunney thing, they will always say Vince is at the head of the WWE, even when it's under NBC. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then wait till when it gets under them and he starts doing the fucking corporate takeovers and, you know, like how they did with the bosses and stuff. They'll do that whole fucking thing TNA did with the network. I mean, ECW did with the network, right? That'll be the new thing. And then Mickey Mouse might show up and beat Roman for the belt. I don't know.
That's goofy.
What the fuck's going on?
Hey, Roman,
That is goofy, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to kick your ass. Roman, I'm gonna kick your ass.
The fucking Disney characters come rolling out, and that's it, you know.
Then I could say I work for WWE because I had my internship with Disney, so I could, I could just put that on my resume.
Throw it on the resume, build it up.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're all talking about that, and you know, like you got to think about centuries before that, or I'm not centuries, decades before this. There was. WWE was in AEW shoes now, and WWE was
I know what you're saying,
but like it's so funny how like the times have changed, and it's not like the overlord has changed, and now we're all like against that, and it was the same thing that we were looking to fight against the machine in the beginning, you know. But
it's crazy because I would have never ever guessed during the late 90s, hell, even the middle of the 90s, as a kid growing up and looking forward to watching wrestling and Raws and whatnot, and then when they came out with SmackDown, wrestling was so big that it was always just something going on with, you know, this was in the stores and that was in the stores. And, you know, it's insane to think that something as, you know, money. I mean, money drives the world, but that WWE, I guess, to keep everything that's going on, that they just specifically don't give a shit about their product. And then it's like, okay, WWE is still a very big name that, you know, Disney will buy it. And then it isn't what we always knew it. Even in back in the 80s when, you know, you had Hogan and Andre and they were really pushing to get to where they are today, ultimately. But it's just crazy to think like that's like you said, how we're talking about it. It's just like I would have never have thought that I would not watch WWE as much as I used to.
No, and Ben's lived through similar situations in the 80s and stuff where these companies were kind of trying to take out, you know, each other to become the top company. And it doesn't bone well. You know what I mean? Like eventually someone falls back.
Right.
So. You know, and there's just more to watch with AEW now. There really
WCW
is.
WCW will always be the head scratcher because they had everything to lose. Like, they had everything to gain, nothing to lose.
Right.
And they lost it all. It never will make sense because the one fucking year they made like $63 million profit for a little wrestling company in the 90s. Holy fuck, that was amazing. That was 1998. The next 2 years. They lost that. You know what I mean?
They blew their load.
Like, what the fuck did they do? They had no booking strategy outside of, we got to beat WWE. And if they weren't beating them, they fell apart. That was it.
Well, the interesting concept from what I could recall listening to a couple of 83 weeks with Eric Bischoff's podcast was the way they would structure their pay-per-views is they would have them set up what would happen on TV so they could get the ratings. WWE was the reverse for the longest time. It used to be the pay-per-views were the payoff. Now, specifically with this pay-per-view, this recent WWE pay-per-view, the payoff again was going to be on network. You know, tune in to Raw to see what happens with the egg. I can't believe I said that. But so I feel like they're going the WCW route in that sense of like trying to keep the ratings high on, which we've all seen the ratings. Wrestling television in general has taken such a like, nobody's watching it anymore. You know what I mean? They're lucky if they could even get 2 point whatevers or 3.0s. Back in the Attitude Eras with the WCWs and the WWEs, they were getting like fives and they were getting, you know what I mean? They were getting high ass ratings. And now they're barely scratching threes, you know?
Right.
But I think that's because all of our television habits have changed. You know, we're not watching television like we used to, you know?
Right.
Well, and that's with the streaming and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, that, yeah, exactly. And then another thing, too, it feels like they're doing this on purpose. It's the, you know, Vince, he's where he's at for a reason. And he, you know, there's got to be something up right now. And not to derive our conversation from wrestling here, but it seems like the guy, the head coach for the Oklahoma Sooners that I follow, he did pretty much, you know, a heel move just recently. It was the coach with the Oklahoma Sooners. He had many interviews where they said, hey, there's rumors going around that you're going to be signing with the LSU Tigers. And he's like, no. I'm in Oklahoma. I'm not going to LSU.
Did he boomer sooner?
And he boomered sooner now. And he went to a different school, which is like, if they had a conversation with him or another interview where they said, well, I thought you said that you weren't going. I thought you said you weren't leaving Oklahoma. He could have been like, well, I said I wasn't going to LSU. I'm going to USC instead. And it's just one of those things where, like, it came out of nowhere. And I feel like that's what's going to happen with WWE. They're going to say, hey, we said that we weren't going to sell to Disney. So we sold with, you know, this company, or maybe NBC buys it or whatever. But, like, I feel like something like that's going to happen where it's going to be a blindside where the rumor is going to be Disney's buying. And then it's going to cool down. And then another company out of left field is going to buy it. Or hell, maybe Netflix buys it. You know what I mean? So,
what if fucking AEW buys it?
I will come.
Did you ever think of that? What is this scenario? Let's talk about this right now.
I will come my jorts.
AEW purchases WWE because Tony Khan has more money than Vince McMahon. He said it
yes
on programming countless times. What does that do for WWE? Do they do the script flip and they do the whole Vince McMahon when he was buying WCW? Is it Tony Khan standing in front of the screen saying, "I have purchased"? Yeah. That's what I'm talking.
It's keep like 26% fucking W McMahon, sell 49% to Disney and sell Khan 24% over on TNT, and then you got three networks amongst, wow, you know, three owners, three different part, like conglomerates owning pieces, and they all got to work together.
That would be interesting. Do you have an idea?
There'd be a board.
Yeah, know? Yeah. Do you have an idea, Jagla, what would happen? Like, besides you coming in your pants?
I think what Ben said, that, I mean, that works. But I also think that if AEW were to buy WWE, I don't think we would see the same thing we saw when they bought WCW and the wrestlers were like, oh my God, what do I do for a job? I just think it ultimately still stays WWE and its own entity, but he'll obviously have more creative control and it'll be make AEW twice as big and the must-see show. But I think WWE, they'll probably cut a lot of like shows that they have. Maybe it'll just be a like a vault type of thing, like what they did when WCW and ECW, when they bought the rights for them and they had all their shit on the network. I think maybe they'll do something like that with AEW. I mean, who knows, really? But that, man, the day that happens, whew,
It's going to be like when WCW got bought out by WWE. You didn't think it was going to happen, and it happened. And then, you know, Tony Khan buys WWE for significantly under the asking price.
Now, here's my question, though. I'm sorry. If that does happen,
right?
What do they do with it? Is it lost money?
No, I personally think like it would just be a bigger wrestling promotion. It would just be like your Ringling Brothers of, like, you know, like that circus. Like, it's never in the same town all the time.
WWAEW Universal.
Yeah, there you go. Something similar to that. I mean, Ringling Brothers doesn't have one show happen in, you know, the eastern part of the state, and another, you know, that, you know, that's it. And if you have to catch them again, you got to either get out there or you got to wait until they come to you. No, Ringling Brothers, or no, I guess more so Cirque du Soleil. I'll say that. Yeah. The Cirque du Soleil, you could go to Canada and see them up there if you wanted to, or you could see them in Disney, in Universal, or not Universal, in fucking Florida. Or you could see them out in California, or you could probably see them somewhere in the middle. They just have like all these pockets, you know what I mean? So you could go to them. You know, that's what they would end up doing. Just, you could go see the wrestling, you know, rather than them travel to you. They'll just have something set up and you just go see them.
Honey, what would you want to do tonight? Oh, let's go see AEWWE. let's go do that. I'll grab the kids. We'll take a ride down and we'll go and enjoy a nice family time.
And then, you know, Seth Rollins is your he's your waiter, and he helps, you know, order the food. And so then it turns
into killer, right? That fucking WrestleMania, they walk out and Khan and Vince shake hands, you know.
Ooh,
and it's the end of any war, and it's the beginning of one wrestling promotion that travels the whole country and the whole world. Actually,
here's my conspiracy theory. All right, I think they're already just playing us as fools anyway. They're all backstage shaking each other's hands, and it's just all a work for the fans, you know. Like, yeah, you know, you AEW fans, oh, I hate WWE, and WWE
the ultimate fans. Work.
Yeah, that's what's actually happening.
I mean, so much talent has been released. I mean, I was reading some kind of thing. They said like 150 names in the year, like that they can't. They're not employable. There's not 150 spots in AEW or in any indie promotion. Or unless you're going to go to Japan, then remember this too, ROH just went belly up. So all that talent's out there as well now. There is a lot of enough talent for someone to make another upstart. There's a ton
another,
of talent out
yeah,
there.
The amount that's released is enough to actually make another wrestling promotion.
You just need, like they did with AEW, you need about five names and you need to surround them with solid talent. That's what they did and get a TV deal. I know I'm saying it like it's easy, like we three could do it. We can't. Yeah. But that's all AEW did. They got five solid names, and they surrounded it with indie talent until they built the product and the name. Like, if they sell that company and Triple H and Stephanie have no positions, man, look out for Triple H to open something up. Because that's what I was reading all over the place, that Triple H and Stephanie, you know, if the company gets sold, to look for them to move and open something up. But who knows, right?
Yeah, I either read or heard something differently about Triple H getting, like, not like kicked out of the company, but he wasn't like,
that's what I heard why he's gone, tell you the truth. Like, I don't hear that you know, maybe that's a cover-up, but I heard he got let out of the company because he faltered so bad with the AEW situation
NXT
on
thing. But you can't I mean, you know, then you fall Rain back on you fall back on like a Bruce Pritchard or something who is just strictly saying yes sir, you know what I mean, like is the OG ass kisser, and the John Laurinaitis who is the OG ass kisser. You need someone like a Triple H, or even to that extent a step I'm almost positive Stephanie McMahon would also be like, yeah, you know, like she would kind of be like Triple H in the sense of like, I'm not gonna like just agree to my father, you know. You either have to, because that was that whole conversation that Paul Heyman had with her. It's like, you could either go to me or you can go to my father, and you should go to me, you know what I mean? Like,
can you imagine the Christmas party this year at the McMahon residence?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. It's going to be crazy, insane stuff. Because Triple H is completely out of the spotlight. I mean, spotlight and behind the curtain. When he was out of the spotlight, at least you knew he was behind the curtain. Now, since what? Is it last year? No, it's just past July.
Yeah.
He's been gone. Like, he's been gone 6 months. Does he come back as a performer? Does he come back as some kind of like trying to take over NXT or something? What happens?
There's
does
been he come little back at all? Do we inklings, never see him? There's been little inklings because he is, was sick that they said that, yeah, you could call Triple H if you want, but just don't talk about wrestling. Don't talk about the product. If you're going to call him and wish him goodwill, you know, goodwill and hope he's speedy, don't talk about the business. I don't know if that's just so much stress that's been put on him about it.
That's fucking weird. Yeah. For a guy who Vince never had that. And we always thought like Trips is the next Vince. He's going to take that company and be like Vince worked those 22 hour days. You know what I mean? And never stop. And it's not like that. They pushed him out already.
No. It's funny that you guys brought that up though, because I could have swore that I just read an article maybe about a week ago that had said that Triple H was gone because of that heart condition that he had, but also that he was looking to get back into the ring one more time.
I'm just going to see. I don't know, man. I don't know if he should be going back into the ring with his condition. If it's as
if
bad
he
as
has it, right?
Yeah.
If it's real, which I mean, I hope that they wouldn't do something like that where they would make it up, but it's WWE. You don't know what's real and what's not real anymore. So,
well, I mean, the lines are blurred, and I'll still always question the Roman Reigns thing. You know, I will. Because he came back so quick. It was like they wanted to try and give him sympathy in any way they could. I know he was out of remission with leukemia for a while, but I know it wasn't significant serious. He came right back super quick before we even knew he was gone, you know. But I don't know anyone's health. However, it is a television show.
Right.
Wow, that's, you know? Yeah. I didn't think about that with his, you know. I thought we were just getting, like, I forgot that he was sick like that, and I thought they were just done with him, you know? But then when they said that he got let go, or not let go, but he stopped, and then they said, oh, it's, you know, the leukemia came back. And yeah, I mean, that could come back again, though, too, you know?
Right.
So he's basically wrestling until, unfortunately, like, if that happens to him again, you know what I mean? Then what do you do when your top dog's down again, you know?
Does he stay there and they say, hey, you know, it might be real this time, but we need you here. You're the champ. You're the face.
Here's my thing with Vince McMahon. Like, anytime he's hooked the WWE's reins to a guy and they faltered, he never puts them back on top. Roman's had like 3 or 4 falters and is still back on top. So which makes me believe the leukemia thing may have behind the scenes, they knew it was in check, but in front of the camera, they said, let's exacerbate it for, you know, like, you know, sympathy or whatever. But Roman also, you know, fucking didn't show up at Mania, and Vince still put the belt on. There's so many things with Roman that have been suspect as opposed to like other performers. And I still think it's the lineage with The Rock. Vince still wants to be connected to The Rock in any way he can, but makes you believe, why did Nia get cut?
But Nia on the other end was just a freaking...
I just think Vince doesn't have as much control as he used to because that NBC deal, like the people they want and don't want, like who the fuck is watching Nia? I've never met a Nia fan.
I'm a Nia fan.
Oh boy, of course you are.
Oh, hey, Jiggle, isn't your mom a Nia fan?
She might be.
I mean, I thought she was.
How did her theme go?
Don't treat me like
a woman. I'm not like those girls.
Wait, that was China.
Yeah,
on my end, that was China. Yours was right. Yeah,
she's not
like most girls.
She's not like most girls. She's an unemployed girl now.
she like most girls now? Since she's
pretty
unemployed.
Much. Yeah. I actually read another thing about her too, where she had said that I don't think I'm coming back to wrestling ever again. So maybe this could have been.
Yeah,
a thing
I did
where...
read that myself.
But she changed her name. Did she change her name for the gimmick or for wrestling again?
I think. Probably for wrestling, like because she didn't want to be affiliated with it all.
Or whatever, yeah.
Maybe. What's her real name? I don't know.
I don't know if that was. I don't know if this is her shoot name or if it's a if it's another like Nia Jax type name or whatever.
Is it Tiara Kari?
That's it. Is that her name?
No, that's the girl from Wayne's World.
Oh wait, no,
Tia Carrera.
Yeah, there you go.
I was gonna say, wait a minute, why
she's
did that? Sound?
Talking about a ballroom blitz or something.
Yeah. Why don't you just go talk to her?
Talk to her.
All right. We're in the weeds with that one. But
yes, we are.
Let's see if we can get back on track here. What else has pissed you off, Ben? What was it? I don't think we talked about one single thing that was pissing you off wrestling-wise.
Everything. Just everything. Whatever you want to go with.
Let's get your blood boiling. I want you to get high blood pressure at the end of this damn thing. What's
dude,
going on?
Dude, I probably already have high blood pressure. I've been watching wrestling for like 30-something years. I mean, I was there when David Arquette won the world title.
Pissed for that, though? You were pissed?
I didn't care. I don't think I was. I didn't. I was like, really? that the Scream guy just won the title. I was like,
the Scream guy.
I was like, WCW, get me every time. Like, that's what it was like at that point.
Oh,
but I mean, I don't know what you could go with nowadays, because WWE is dreadful. It's absolutely dreadful. I can't remember the last time I've seen a match that was entertaining on their programming.
Here's the thing. The thing that they're doing with Austin Theory, if they're trying to push him, just he was somewhat fun to watch in NXT. Somewhat. And they took that somewhat, that little inkling of, oh, some, a lot of people actually like this guy. Let's push him. But let's have him do stupid shit like selfies. He wasn't doing that in NXT. He was just, he was an outgoing guy that you could see on camera. Maybe he's like that behind the scenes, I don't know. But he fit that kind of, I don't want to say an attitude era type of guy, but like that kind of, I don't want to say that ruthless aggression guy either. But when Raw and SmackDown were first split up and you had guys that were trying to, you know, make a name for themselves, Austin Theory, I felt like, was doing that NXT. He was with Gargano. He was doing his thing. He was being funny here and there. He was actually, he made me LOL. With one of a few of the things that he said there. But why do you have him coming to the main roster now and doing a stupid shit? Like, it's just like, it's not entertaining. And to go with what Ben's saying, everything about WWE is pissing him off. It's same. It's just like,
yeah.
Everything's annoying and there's nothing to pinpoint and say, this is why it's annoying. It's right. Just like, I don't know if they're not trying. I don't know if they're all just, doesn't it seem like they're in a holding pattern? Like they're just waiting.
They are. They've been in a holding pattern since the pandemic.
That
exactly. WrestleMania felt so like, I know.
Armageddon. The
world. Yeah.
And yeah. Speaking of something, because, you know, we're wrestling people. Someone is liking WWE because I just had someone who purchased the entire Performance Center era off of me on a jump drive. So someone's liking the shit.
Well, see, I got that too. I got that too with a tweet or two on Twitter about. I said something, and I wasn't trying to be snarky, but they were doing something where it was like this female like talk show host on NXT, and I said something, that. And then the person, and I didn't want because you know what? Because then I thought in the back of my head, just like you did, Ben, someone likes this shit. And it's for them. And they said, you know, well, this is what, you know, at least this is, you know, woman empowerment or whatever it was. And that's not the point.
I saw that tweet, Mikey.
I wasn't trying to scarf at that. I just went, okay, if I was looking at it from that perspective, I could understand it. But I just said something like, it's, you know, this is Bruce Pritchard's, you know, that was my
NXT 2.0.
And yeah, this is my Bruce Pritchard. And they said,
is, you know, this is like for black girls like me, it feels great.
I'm like, okay. Okay, I get it.
Did we miss War Games by chance?
If that was tonight, if that happened tonight, I didn't watch it, nor did I know it was happening.
Yeah,
we're a terrible podcast, guys. We are wrestling and whatever. We don't even know the fucking dates. This is how bad the product is.
We're just not watching it. We're just not watching it.
It's made our product suffer.
Yes, yeah.
We really, like I said, we were just critiques. We're critics of a product that we really don't watch except for AEW here and there. I try to watch AEW as much as possible.
This is a wrestling product and we're talking about like gardening, you know, that's
what we should do, just like bamboozle them a little bit.
The thing is, we have 100 years of wrestling experience watching here. Between the three of us, 100 yeah. fucking years.
Like, that's just Ben's years alone.
Mike,
I'm sorry.
Will you stop?
Okay.
He's going banana.
just my knowledge, but yeah, I mean, we have liked the wrestling. We've lived it at certain times, and you know, it still entertains us in small glimpses. There's a lot of fucking problems with it right now, though. Besides AEW, which is the only light at the end of the tunnel for wrestling fans at the moment.
And maybe this 2K22 wrestling game I heard might be really good. They're bringing back a GM mode. They're tweaking My Universe mode, those type of things. So that's kind of getting me a little excited. I still won't pay full retail price on it. I'll wait for it to go on sale again. But it seems like it's been off the market for a while that I think that they could bring it back and be like, okay, this might be good. So
even on the Xbox Marketplace, 2K20, which was arguably the worst one from what I've read, it's still almost full price.
Yeah, I said to the missus, I said, if we're gonna get me that wrestling game, wait until Black Friday and get it for under $20. And she did just that, because I was like, I am not allowing you to get me a gift for that game and spend full retail price. It's not worth it.
I can't tell you last time I bought a wrestling game. Probably the one with the Stone Cold on the cover. I think it was 16.
Really?
It's been a while. I just had no desire to buy them because they just don't look good. But one thing I just wanted to add on to what Ben had mentioned about that his one of his customers is that I personally
bought that whole thing, didn't you? You're that customer.
No.
Oh, you that guy?
That's me. I'm Tom.
You're
no.
Tom. You're if Tom Tom's from Florida.
Oh my God, is it really Tom?
It really isn't, but to go what
he said, somebody's liking this shit. And the same thing goes with, like, me mentioning before about Battlefield. A lot of people are talking so much shit on it. There's a small community that still likes it. But is the big enough community still big enough? The loudest – how's that saying go? The loudest squeak makes gets the oil or whatever?
The squeakiest wheel gets the oil.
Whatever.
The loudest
I never heard any of the wheels that are any of the squeaks, but I appreciate both of you guys telling me.
The loudest screech from Saved by the Bell. Is he? Oh, yeah, he is.
Dead.
Rest in
he
peace.
Passed away.
Yeah. Good job. Way to make fun of him, J-Glo.
Right after that Dirty Sanchez incident.
Oh, yeah, he was in porn. Good for him.
Did you have to say porn? Can we just keep it at Dirty Sanchez?
So Dirty Sanchez is when you you gotta put him in a hole. You give him the Dirty Sanchez.
That's when you gave old Jan.
We need JR to commentate porn.
That's when you get.
My God, he's got her in a hold, and he's grabbing his penis. Penis.
He's tucking.
And my God, he's going to pull out right at this moment. That's God, God is my witness. She's pregnant.
She's broken.
But,
what? Does Snitsky end up killing the baby then? Because that's what he usually does.
What, JR?
Snitsky?
Snitsky kicks the baby. Remember that shit?
Friend of the show.
Mind you, my mother also knows Gene Snitsky. She met him 2 or 3 years ago at the mall and has a video. It's on my Facebook. I'll try and share it with you guys.
Please do. That's awesome.
Dude, it's so funny. He's got his arm around my mother dressed like Santa Claus and he's talking to me.
Yes.
I'm the funniest thing in the world. It's so dumb. But yeah, Snitsky will kick the baby.
If you see me coming home with your mother, just know it's not my fault.
Is Snitsky my dad?
Daddy?
Dadsky?
Dadsky. That's my Dadsky.
I love it. But just to go back to what I was saying, maybe is that a loud enough universe that, like, that they're keeping this shit going? I don't think so.
I don't want to point anything out, but we know, like, they did that one dude because of India, right? I mean, is that still a big, viable, you know? And if you look at, like, the comments and shit, like...
Mansoor?
Not Mansoor. No. The other guy. The other CMB guy.
Yeah.
If you look at...
Jinder.
If you look at, like, comments on Facebook or on Twitter and stuff to, like, the superstars profile pages and stuff, it's all people from, like, you know, different continents and things like that, which is great because WWE is a big thing around the world. You think AEW will get that following?
I think so. It's going to start off here, though, just like the Attitude Era did, really. And it's just going to make its way over everywhere. There's a lot of people in other countries that are talking about AEW as well. Okay. You could just tell by the Facebook pages and the Twitter pages when you have, you know, Mujahid, Chesson or whatever, and he's, you know, loving his stuff and, you know, trying his best to put English in there. But, like, it's everywhere. AEW's professional wrestling is very huge over in Europe and over in India and whatnot.
But are they still, I don't know if we talked about it on our program or if Ben knew about this, are they still, like, behind a little bit? Like what we do here in the States, right? It's coming out and then, like, I'm just naming a random country. Like, say then you go to Japan or you go to India and, like, they're just getting the stuff that happened, like, 3 weeks late.
I don't think it's behind like that anymore.
Okay.
It used to be. It might still be. I'm not sure. But
because of the tapes.
Movies used to not make it to, like, Australia for 6 months. we'd get them here, and then they get them there 6 months later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that by firsthand experience, sort of, you know, like they didn't get shit quick at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's ask Ben. Ben does, you know, he sends drives and DVDs and
tapes and things out.
Like, do you have a lot of customers out in the area that are getting AEW stuff?
Canada is the only place I really have, but no one's getting AEW stuff from me in Canada. They're getting WWE. I don't have anybody super overseas getting anything really right now. I think because of the shipping and how long it's taking to get there, you know?
I didn't think about that too. Yeah.
Especially now until the end of December, even sometime in January, it'll take weeks before you get anything out there.
Yeah.
Right.
And the shipping international is so expensive. Like, for one DVD, it's like $14 to ship, like, to the UK.
That's freaking crazy. But that's on their end, isn't it? Isn't it on their end that they have to pay the shipping?
No, they, like, I pay it on this end, and then they get it. But if you don't classify it correctly, they have to pay, like, a cost on their end as well. Wow. You have to classify shit right. It's so hard to send stuff internationally sometimes. But, you know, I don't have anybody now. I did have a lot of people buying AEW internationally, but the shipping, like I said, is so expensive, they just stopped.
Is when you say international, do you also mean Canada and Mexico, or do you just mean
everywhere outside across the pond? Okay. Everywhere outside the United States, like the UK, Japan, yeah. You know, wherever. Ireland, I used to send a lot of shit. Like, international orders are dead. Like, nothing. Even on, like, Mercari and eBay, no one international buys because of the shipping. The shipping is so outrageous from here to there.
It's funny that we're talking about this stuff, because even just going back on our when I was looking at the metrics for who listened to our podcast, there's a lot of people in India, Ireland, Australia that were mentioned that too, New Zealand. A lot of people were listening to our stuff over there, a good part, and even in like Guatemala and shit like that. So like it's still, I guess, relevant around the world, and I'm not sure if they're just listening to us because we're also free to listen to. And it's something wrestling related, but I know the majority of us, we talk about AEW quite a bit, that, you know, a lot of our, you know, listeners are still from over there. I don't think we even have one person from Canada in ours. We might, but I know a lot of ours was European. So I think it might still have some sort of a, not that we're in any affiliation with AEW or WWE, but still, there's still wrestling fans over there listening to it.
So. No, and not to get meta into this podcast and the format and how we do things and stuff like that, but I think a lot of times when people put podcasts on, they, if they're doing drives or if they're just putting something to fall asleep on, that's, you know, we're pretty probably good to fall asleep to. We're not too loud. But, like, you pop on a podcast and either doze off or, you know, you wash your dishes or something like that. I think, I don't know exactly, but I think they look at long form podcasts as in like hour longs or whatever, just so they have something on while they're doing something. I do that. I don't know if you guys, when you're listening to podcasts.
Oh yeah. When I used to work overnight. Yeah, absolutely. I used to listen to a lot of podcasts overnight, and I would just listen to it if it was something that was, you know, relative to me, like wrestling or mm-hmm. anything sports wise, I would try to listen to it. But like you said, more so to pass the time by to hear something in the background, especially when you're making love.
Put us on while you're making love.
To that your hand. Someone. Over such a someone.
Or your hand, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's. I would love to know if everything is, you know, that popular across, you know, across the pond, as you would say.
Well, yeah. And like I was saying, I don't know. We're Ben and I are still unsure, and you're still unsure as if how, like, how soon fads catch on, you know, like wrestling wise, even, you know what I mean? Just wrestling wise, the television thing, the movie thing, I knew a little bit. I didn't know it was that, but now, like, we're the United States seems to get movies like second sometimes. Like I think this new Resident Evil movie, I think it opened in like Japan or China first. And then it came over here. We used to be the lead, like, distributors, you know what I mean? They used to come here, and then they dub everything and send it out. But now it's like,
where's the money at? It's not here.
No, it is not as, you can't get as many eyes over here as you could overseas. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting.
And the way that how the internet is nowadays too. I mean, anyone could stream that or watch it, even if it's in China right now. They could find a way to get it somehow. And that's why I think a lot of things are happening too, where it's, everything's being streamed. No one's really going to the movies anymore. The pandemic kind of really put a, you know, a stake in that heart as well. But
yeah,
times are changing. And I mean, life is different from even 10 years ago from now, as it was even just streaming and everything on the internet. And even 20 years ago, 30 years ago, so much shit has changed where it's like, you know, 30 years ago it was 1991, or am I wrong?
And it's no, just you're like, right.
To think that years. That was 30 years ago. It's insane, and that's, you know, where we're at now today, and what's it going to be like 30 years from now?
I get vintage wine from the ancient age, mind you, of 1998, and I'm like, that shit's not vintage. I was, you know, like,
okay. That's only 5 years old, right? Right?
Like, when was I was still in high school.
I know.
Am I a vintage age?
You are vintage. Vintage dangerously, but it's just it's crazy to see how everything's going. And I just want to know, like, I will only want time machines, not to go back to see to change anything like Quantum Leap. I want to, like, just go back for just a minute and just observe what life is going to be like 2040, 2050, you know, from now. And like, I just want to see, like, what are we going to look like? I don't think we're going to have hovering cars or any shit like that, but I just want to know where we stand, what we're going to be doing, like, what is life going to be like from now? And I know it's some trippy shit to think about, but like, just seeing how in our age now, how we've seen everything change since 1990 to now, it's insane. Like, what exactly is going to actually happen? It's just, I don't know.
You're absolutely right. It's crazy. It's crazy to think. It's crazy to not really have the answers, and we're kind of pondering in a wrestling podcast, but that's what happens sometimes. We could talk, to end the show here, we could kind of talk about what we think the product's going to be like in 10 years, because you got to think about that. 10 years ago for the product of wrestling was different from 10 years ago before that. Like, you'd watch old SmackDowns from 2003, and you're like, this shit was good, you know. Like,
great, this is good shit.
Yeah. And then, but you know, like, even like, there were even some parts like in 2000 maybe 15 9 10, yeah, maybe. Okay, yeah. Or like, okay, you know, you're like, oh my god, yeah. I can't believe that person was on wrestling at that time.
Or oh my god, this guy's back. Oh, that guy's back. It's so like,
let's do 10 years from now. Whatever organization you want to think about, what do you think is going to happen? Like, I guess I can go first. I'll do 10 years from now, WWE. By 10 years from now, it's going to change drastically. I think it will have been bought out by then. And I don't know which company is going to buy it out, but it's not going to be under Vince McMahon anymore. I'll be this guy. I'll set the clock. 10 years from now, ooh, this is bad karma on me. Vince McMahon is gonna be dead.
Oof.
And it's gonna be some sort of like NBC Universal, you know, one of their CEOs, like a you know, like how Disney had Eisner. It's gonna be like one of those guys running the wrestling corporation, you know?
Okay.
And it's gonna be there. they're gonna be using all those superstars that they had, probably for commercials for products that they're selling. And because at this time with WWE, I bet you wrestling's kind of almost, could we all agree that it's almost like practically mainstream?
I would say so, yeah.
It's kind of is like, it's, wrestling it, still it's there, you
there's
know?
Like a taboo with wrestling it. But it's kind of there. Right, you know, like
WWE had that fucking removed, and when they got that kind of that ESPN deal, and they were covering wrestling as a legitimized yeah, like thing,
right?
And now it's gone; it's not there anymore. That ESPN thing is just gone.
That was a smart move by them to have that, though. Yes, that was really cool, because so that was making them legit, and that was making
that was
them...
because of Lesnar. That was all to do with Lesnar, and now it's not there because Lesnar's kind of like backing off and taking limited scheduling and stuff like that. So he's not full time, I guess. I don't know. But that was, oh, and the Jonathan Coachman thing. Coach was involved in all that happening. And he's not around anymore either. I don't even think he's involved with ESPN anymore. I'm not
sure. I don't think he's with the – he might be doing the golf when they do golf, but I don't know if
– I think so. I think you're right, Mike.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. And I hate to put the time limit on Vince. I think he's going to outlive us all, the son of a bitch bastard. But that's where I'm thinking WWE's going to be. It's going to be – and here's the other thing. The kicker, 10 years, exclusively streaming. That's what I
think so too. I could see that too, Mike, for sure.
Yeah.
I think wrestling is going to go the way, like, once they seen how it worked with the Performance Center and all that revenue. I mean, I guess they want the revenue from the traveling thing, but it would take a lot of, you know, if they moved all that away into the side and only did the big shows a year with live fans, you know what I mean? Instead of traveling all over, they did it from a place like ECW used to always record at the arena.
Yeah.
WWE could have fans, but always record at the Performance Center, you know, the same difference.
Yeah, just be out of Florida. Yeah.
Do you know who wants to go next?
Ben, I have an idea of what I'm going to say.
All right.
I'll go next, and I'll say I'll go with AEW because it's a little bit easier. And you know, I just say MJF will have been champion multiple times by then. I think they'll still be on TNT.
Okay. I was going to say, do you think they would get
viable? But they'll have streaming.
I was going to say, do you think they'd get a streaming service? Because, like, I feel like AEW, yeah, absolutely. Not to talk over you, Ben, but AEW needs to make a deal with, and I keep saying this, but like Netflix.
Just make it with Netflix. Why not?
You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it would work. You know, Netflix could see how Hulu did wrestling and they could be like, okay, fine. Throw AEW, and then they don't have to throw it in a corner. They don't have to put baby in a corner. But seriously, like, I honestly think AEW needs to stream. Within these 10 years from now, AEW should be
absolutely
honestly.
It should have been streaming for a while.
It should have, right? You're right. Well, yes.
Here's the thing, too. The AEW pay-per-views, they're mostly on that Bleacher Report, which is an application you can use on your phone where they stream from. So why not book a deal with somebody like them, or like you said, like maybe ESPN, since WWE is not affiliated with them, be a part of their streaming service where you could watch them on ESPN Plus or something.
That would be the ultimate deal. Make a deal with WWE to broadcast AEW on the network, and then you get double fans. You have your TNT fans that you're still garnering, and you've made a deal to be on the WWE network. Man, that's a blockbuster deal. And that's also a smarter business deal than, say, let's compete by Tony Khan. Let's make a, you know, make that kind of deal, you know,
and
WWE
could like take a back seat and they won't have to keep creating original content in that way, because AEW could be its own entity, obviously,
and which would make people subscribe to the network. Like, also, we never kind of talked about that. Do you think, like, if they do sell the name, I wonder if the network goes with it, the tape library? Because the tape library is everything that WWE has amassed. That tape library is worth a lot of money. It's every wrestling promotion pretty much there is, history, you know?
Yeah.
Everything. So that's worth a great deal, you know what I mean? Also, I think that they were talking about trying to buy that ROH library. People are trying to get in on that now.
Personally, I could see them selling the rights to whatever, but then them saying, you know, we're gonna have a small business and we'll just deal out tapes, DVDs, and yada 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 of, like, you know, top 10 greatest WrestleManias, whatever, you know, 20 box set Blu-ray, you know, laser disc set.
Wow, we're really aging this podcast right now.
20 of, in 10 years we're gonna go back to Blu-rays.
Yeah,
please.
Or laser disc, I mean.
Laser.
We'll go to VHS.
VHS, fucking, what were those cassette tapes that weren't cassette tapes? The other ones? The
Hit big clips?
No, they were like A-tracks? Bigger tapes. A-tracks, that's it. They're going fucking A-track.
Well, this is just a little,
No,
this is a little side note. Did you guys see, like, Slammiversary, that Impact event? It's super hard to get the one from this year. They've sold out of it on their website. Apparently, TNA's not printing anymore. So it's a very hard DVD to get, and someone made like a meme of it that it's a double VHS set they're gonna release next of it. You know what I mean?
Titanic.
Because like Titanic back in the day, you know.
Oh man!
And another little side note, because we're just, you know, going around the horn here. Did everyone see what's going on with Flair? That Flair said he'll never go back to the WWE again. Like he wants his legacy to not only be remembered in AEW.
No, I didn't.
I read something about that, but yeah, I know that they reached out to him on his deathbed and asked for them, like, to him to sign over his rights or something.
Yeah, he wants to sign. He's going to sign over his rights. He said he'll never work for whoever the con is that's working for WWE. He'll never work under him again, he said. He goes, he is the reason he took the Woo out of the opening. He took every mention of Flair out of the opening. He said it was all his doing. Wait. I didn't know the Woo was out of the opening.
I noticed that. Wait, is he dying?
Here's the thing he said. He said he's in intense. He said he'd rather come out now than stay in intensive care for 30 days. I don't know what that means. Oh, if he's that like sick that he's in intensive care. Yeah. And he also wants to wrestle Sammy Guevara. He's like trying so hard to get this match with Sammy Guevara.
What the fuck is he
in the ring?
Randy the Ram, the wrestler.
That's it.
But Ram Jam. It would be. I don't see Flair ever happening. But imagine if he could come out and just chop MJF. That's all he needs to do. Like, that's who he should have the exchange with. You know
or
what
he
I mean?
Dies
that's
in the ring. One.
or he dies in the ring.
The ratings for that would be
through
huge.
The roof. Yep.
Through the roof and into the grave.
Yeah, but he said he'll never be on AEW again. WWE again, excuse me.
That's Ben's words. He'll never be on AEW again.
Please come back to AEW. I want to see you wrestle Sammy Guevara.
and Jim Ross in a triple threat match.
That would be sick.
Whoever croaks loses, obviously, because you're dead. Hold on. Let's do this real quick, too, because I fucking forgot. I just brought up Jim Ross's name, and he is actually undergoing some... not like I guess he's gonna have surgery, but he's got skin cancer.
Right, I saw that too.
So we do wish him a speedy recovery, and hopefully, you know, when he gets all that sorted out. Now, is he off TV?
He's
off TV until December, though.
He's off TV till further notice. When he said,
"That's crazy." Wow, that is really crazy. Yeah,
he's a vintage voice. That I mean, it's a voice of our childhood. So I mean. I wish him the best. I know you and him don't see eye to eye.
No,
Twitter,
you know
Mikey.
What? The last pay per view, I felt like I was getting like fair vibes off of him for some strange reason, just hating for no apparent reason. But but no, the last pay per view, the only thing like I noticed he was doing, and even as a professional, and I hate to kick the guy while he's down, but like if I was announcing, or if you were announcing, or if Ben was announcing. You don't call out your mistakes. And I don't know, maybe he's just so comfortable doing the job, he just didn't think of it. But that kind of gets, like, not old, but, like, it's unprofessional to really do that. Because he was messing up, and that's fine, because his fucking name is so close to each other. Daniel Bryan and Bryan Danielson's name.
Right.
I said, that's a fucking stupid name. Change it anyway. Like, why does it have to be so close to each other? Like, you know? Just call him the fucking dragon or something, dude. The American dragon. And then let it be. But
granted, it's his name, but...
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. Change it. Why is it so close?
Like, I would just call yourself, like, Bad News Brown or something.
Yeah. Then
but that is WWE's fault, because his name is Bryan Danielson, and they named him Daniel Bryan.
No, that's his parents' fault for naming him something stupid like that, and he should have a different name.
Yeah.
I'm defending JR. I didn't care. Everybody was like, oh, you can't even get his fucking name right. Like, you tried calling matches for fucking 20 years.
20?
I just mean when he was with Daniel Bryan. When he was calling Daniel Bryan matches.
Just in general.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Granted, yeah, we're going to be those people that, like, on the internet are like, oh, well, you get paid all this money. You need to do that right. Same thing goes with any sport, any type of entertainment value that you know how much somebody fucking makes.
Yeah.
Or know they make millions.
I hate that excuse.
They need to do it right. Here's getting paid millions of dollars. He should be doing this right.
Why does it sound like Roseanne?
Damn!
Oh, gosh.
But, like, get the guy a break. Who gives a fuck?
I don't.
Is wrestling so poor with entertainment nowadays that we have to focus on every little fucking thing?
Minute little thing. Like, give me a fucking break. So.
But one thing I want to just say here in regards to what I think wrestling is going to be at
10
years.
Which company are you doing both?
2031. I'm doing at WWE to AEW.
Oh.
I'm going to say by 2031... There is going to be a certain man that is a part of AEW, and he's going to lift them above everything else. And it's not Vince Russo. It's Triple H will be a part of AEW by 2031.
Wow.
And he is going to take them above and beyond. I mean, they're already above WWE, in my opinion, entertainment-wise. Wrestling is still great wrestling on WWE because they really pride themselves on not fucking up a lot. But an AEW is just still kind of getting there, and they have great matches too. Don't get me wrong.
Which is why I think is more entertaining, though. Think right? Cause you, right. When you go to watch NASCAR, you don't watch it to watch the cars go around the track. You watch it so it smashes into the fucking wall and somebody dies or something in the fucking car.
Here's
that's
the thing.
What AEW is doing.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? It's that, like, WWE's, it's art for them. It's like fucking going to see a fucking symphony. Sorry, not a symphony. It is sympathetic too.
It's very sympathetic.
But it's like going to watch the opera and you know the wind and the brass, the sections are going to hit their notes properly and it's going to extend and it's going to, you know, everything's going to happen. Fucking watching AEW, you're going to get a fucking, you know, intergender midget coming out and they're going to throw him through a table. Arn Anderson's going to pull out a Glock and blow Cody Rhodes. Like, you don't know what's going to happen and it's entertaining. You know, it's so fucking.
AEW is to what? I'm 100% agreeing with you, Mikey. So the AEW is for any new person that's being introduced to wrestling. They need to watch AEW to get them hooked on it.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's still for any wrestling fan or guys that we, like I said, we have 100 years here of just loving wrestling that the AEW is our go-to right now. But the way I look at it, and you brought up NASCAR, is very, very, very good analogy, is that NASCAR, for some fans that have watched NASCAR for, my God, their whole life, even when they were kissing their cousins, that they specifically watch that sport because they know it in and out. They know the race cars. They know the crew chiefs. They know everything that goes along with NASCAR. And they're like, in fantasy, a NASCAR comes into play too for them to see, okay, I have this driver. I have that driver. I want to see them do good. Same thing goes for me with like football. I could watch a game that's three, like Chicago's got 6 points and Minnesota's got three. And I could sit there and just pinpoint everything and look at it and be like, oh, man, that guy needs to be there. They need to do something different here. Which if you're not a football fan or a NASCAR fan, you're watching football more so to see all the touchdowns, all the crazy catches, and this, that, the other thing. And NASCAR, like you said, you want to see the cars crash. You want to see Dale Earnhardt crash into the wall. Yeah. But, like, you want to see that wow factor, which I can't say that WWE's like – the 6-3 Vikings Bears game. It's not like that for me anymore. It's like I'm trying to book on the go while I'm watching these guys. I don't do that anymore. Like, oh,
even
this
the Big
happen.
E title run is kind of lackluster.
It is,
that was so.
It's such
so
a
dumb.
Push though for that guy. Like it's very deserving
for him. Yes.
For him but
it
like,
is.
You know, you're watching Big E like if Sheamus won the belt. Probably.
I 100% agree
what
with
it
you,
is.
Ben.
Yeah.
100% agree. So stupid. But like I said, that's, I mean, I can really, I think I could speak for all of us saying the way that I look at WWE is the way you guys really look at it too. With, you know, we could try to fantasy book while we're watching it, but then it doesn't come to fruition. Like, they're not doing what we think that they could do. So yeah. It's just, it's tough. And I agree with you, Ben. It's just like, fuck. Big E could have been so big, no pun intended, but like it could have been a lot better for him right now, but it just seems like they just threw the title on him. Like after he got the Intercontinental Championship, everyone was all like, oh my God, Big E, awesome. And then it's like there was no buildup to him winning the belt, like WWE Championship.
It was a shock value title win. That's all it was with him, but he's so lackluster. I mean, they did it with Kofi. What are they going to do with Xavier Woods out of the New Day? And I mean, they should have done it with Big E, like, fucking probably before Kofi, you know?
No, yeah, yeah. But I mean,
Big
I think
E was was going that monster route. Who was he with? Fuck, I can't remember.
Ziggler?
Yeah. Ziggler, yeah, and he was a monster then. Like, and they just let him go to the side, you know? And now we're supposed to accept him as a viable world champion when he's been stuck in a six-man for how many months?
Yeah, it's just, there was no build-up, there was no storyline to it. And you think that WWE would strike the iron when it's hot, but they're not, though. They let New Day run its course way overdue, and Kofi Mania was big. I thought it was okay. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Kofi winning. I didn't really care. But I know for the black community that they probably really did care about that, which I'm happy for them. But as a wrestling fan that just watches wrestling because I want to be entertained by it, and from what I know wrestling could do, they haven't really had any big moments like that where it's like, I give a fuck.
No, and I think getting back to Ben's thing, I think Xavier should have probably won it before not Kofi, before Big E. I think Xavier should have won it before him.
Because that would have been a very good... Yeah, bigger shock. Yep.
Yeah, right? It would have been a bigger shock. And he, like you said, he is very good. Like, he flippy-dippy-dippies, you know? They don't let him do
very
that.
Very athletic.
But, like, you know, like, Big E's a big guy, but, like, he's just the... So right now you have two... You have a face champion and a heel champion on different brands, and you have pretty much almost the same stature, if you think about it. Both big powerhouse guys. Both big guys that aren't going to leave their feet. One has a pretty good entourage with him, and the other one, maybe sometimes Kofi comes out with him. Like, you know what I mean? I don't... Or Xavier. It's really like... Yeah, Big E's run is just a little lackluster, in my opinion, too. You know, they could do a little bit more. But I guess on that lackluster note, we should call it.
Yeah, let's call the end of this episode. I mean, we could get bitched for about 10 more hours about wrestling. Seriously. But
yes, that's true.
Thank you for everyone who's listening to us bitch this entire episode. It's great. We appreciate you listening. And we'll give the floor here to Ben if you want to push anything, my brother.
No, I think we're going to stay silent this week. You know, everyone enjoy our podcast, and, you know, we'll see you up there.